We need heroes. Now as much as ever. By the way, how many people thought of the Shrek movie when you started hearing that song? I was curious. Top Gun, too. Well, Shrek's a little more recent. And a little bit more my speed. We need heroes. And fathers, men, you are the heroes that we need. A hero is defined as a person who is admired or idealized for courage, outstanding achievements, or noble qualities. And men, that is you. Not to say that there aren't women who are heroes too, but men, that is you. So today, you can be men of courage, men of character. And I would like to give you something today. It's not really that you need this, but I want to speak for God for a minute. It's a priestly role, you would say. I want to say something to every man hearing my voice, and even those who may listen to the recording. In the name of Jesus, I give you the permission to stand strong for what is right, what is good, and what is true. Now, I know that you and I are not perfect, but God doesn't ask us to be perfect. As imperfect men in an imperfect world, we can stand for grace and truth. We can teach an imperfect world what it means to be courageous, what it means to be noble, what it means to stand for what is right and good and true. How do fallen people follow Christ? As fallen men in a fallen world, we can show people what it means to live for God here and now. You can do that. You have to, as a matter of fact. If you and I don't, no one will. See, we can be men of conviction, standing for what is sacred. You know, the Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is truly sacred. And we can stand for Him. Also, those things are sacred that God has called into place, things that He has set into place. For instance, life is sacred. The ability to choose God, the ability to choose Christ or not, is sacred. We have that right. God has set it in place that we can choose Christ or not. Our identity is sacred. Our age, our race, our sex, our disabilities, our abilities, those are sacred. And we can stand for what is sacred. We can also be men of strength, protecting those around us. You know, I think as real men, we should be people that anyone who is around us feels safe. Safe from us and safe from others. So I think we should always treat people well and teach others to follow our example. I'd like to turn to Isaiah chapter 58. It's page 736 in the Pew Bible. I'd like to follow along. In Isaiah chapter 58, Isaiah is writing, and he tells us what God wants of us. Isaiah 58, starting at verse 6. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke. To set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with a pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like noonday. There was a vision for what men can be like. And with the Lord's help, we can do this. We can be light in the darkness, and people can see Christ Jesus in us. We can be the heroes that our world longs for. Now, there are two things that I'd like to share with us, with the men. Things we need to do to move on as better heroes. The first one, if you haven't already, would be to give your life to Christ. To be a hero, as I have defined it, can only be done with Christ Jesus living in us, guiding us, empowering us. It is impossible without Christ. If you gave Christ your life, if you've already committed yourself to him, but have taken at least some of it back, you know, in this area, I'm going to live for me. You need to let Christ have it again. Have all of you. You need to do it now. Just to pray and give it all back and mean it. And the second thing I would encourage us all to do is to let go of our past. You have not always lived necessarily as someone who is to be admired, someone of courage. There have been times where we've been less than honorable, less than courageous. Times where noble qualities seem to fail us. So then our past weighs us down, and we remember the mistakes that we've made. Well, you can't just forget your past. It doesn't work that way. Look, it's yesterday. Forget it. Today's a new day. First, you need to repent. You need to stop doing what you've been doing. If you haven't stopped already, you need to ask Christ to help you to stop and to live for him instead of the wrong in your past. To set the wrong aside. You need to ask forgiveness. Forgiveness from God and forgiveness from the ones you've hurt. You need to tell them that you've been wrong. That can be very hard to do. It takes a lot of courage. To say, "I was wrong, and I'm sorry, and I want to do better." Man, I want to tell you, just from personal experience, one of the most freeing experiences you can have is to go to your children, go to your spouse, and say, "I was wrong, and I am sorry. Will you forgive me?" It's an incredibly powerful experience. See, in Christ, God has already forgiven you. But those you have hurt may need time to heal, time to learn to trust again. And part of repentance, by the way, is then giving people that time. One other thing about repentance. Repentance always means willing to be accountable for your actions. I would suggest if you will not accept accountability, you have not repented. You have to accept accountability. It's part of moving on and letting go of what you've done before. So for everybody else, how do we help the fathers? How do we help the men in our lives? And there are two things I'd like to share with everybody else. One of the things, pray every day for the men in your lives. If you are not a man, you have no idea how hard it is. Men don't talk about it primarily because they don't think about it very often. We suppress it just like we suppress most everything else. Okay? It's easy. We're good at it. But being a man is hard. Most everything in life works to belittle us. Most everything in life works to strangle us. The challenges are immense. The pressure is often overwhelming and the stakes are high. So we need prayer, lots of prayer. Lots of prayer. The other thing you could do is to project respect to the men in your life. Notice I didn't just say respect the men in your life. Project respect to the men in your life. It's not enough to respect him. You have to show it. Study him. Learn what it makes, what is necessary for him to hear respect. Different men hear it different ways. Ladies, you are more disrespectful than you have any idea. Okay? You are wonderful ladies, but you are more disrespectful than you have any idea. Most women have no idea how to respect their husbands because ladies treat their husbands like they treat their friends. Now, hopefully your husband is your friend, but he's not a woman. Billy Joe and I are still trying to get this right. For one thing, she loves to protect me. Right? Just never. Okay? She's listening. Never try to protect me. That is one of the most disrespectful things you could ever do. My mother tried to protect me, and I don't want another one. How do you project respect to the men in your life? Now, some of you may be thinking, but he doesn't really deserve respect. And all I'm going to say to that is too bad. Okay, get over it. Do it anyway. Ladies, your husbands, the men in your life need to learn how to love you. And on Mother's Day, I talked about, in different words, projecting love to the women. Now, I will ask you, don't have to answer the question, okay, but think, are you always lovable? Is it always easy to love you, ladies? Do you always deserve being cherished? Now, if you think you do, I would love to talk to you after the service, and then have you talk to my wife about how to do that, okay? She is absolutely wonderful, but there are times when it's hard. But you want to be loved even when you're not lovable. And you should be loved even when you're not lovable. And the men in your life need to be respected even when they are not acting respectable. This list also does not say, fix your husband. Nowhere in Scripture will you find any command that says, wives, fix your husbands. It doesn't happen, okay? I'd love for you to find something like that just to challenge me, because I'd love to have you look, okay? Fixing men, just like fixing women, is God's job. Don't. For one thing, it's terribly disrespectful. And you can't do it. And it'll drive a wedge in your relationship. And he'll resent it. And they're going to wonder why you have a resentful husband. Respect him. Let God change him. If you really, really think your husband needs to change, go back to number one. Pray for your husband. Pray for God to fix whatever it is. None of us deserve grace. None of us deserve love, and none of us deserve respect. I mean, just talk about doing things that people deserve. None of us deserve those things. We give those things because of who Jesus is, not because of who our spouse is, who our father is, who our mother is, who we are. We do it because of Jesus. We give grace and love and respect out of the abundant grace and love and respect that Christ gives to us. He has showered huge amounts of those things onto us. And in Him we give it to others. So men, fathers, you are amazing. And I don't say that lightly. You are amazing. You rock. You are an image of Christ on earth. And we are honored to know you. May our Lord Jesus Himself and God our Father, who loved us and by His grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good word and deed. Amen.